You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
This episode is brought to you by Beyond Natural Pet Food. Beyond Pet Food helps me care for what matters, my pets and my world. They help me nourish my pets with high-quality natural ingredients, like wild-caught salmon and organic free-range chicken. Beyond also has responsible sourcing practices and a long-term partnership with the Nature Conservancy. Beyond Pet Food, your pet, your world. Learn more at beyondpetfood.com.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
There's nothing like starting a Friday with just snooping through a coworker's desk.
All right,
let's
here we
do
go.
That. Yep. Let's start our Friday with what's under Billy's desk. What do we got there, Roy?
Drum roll, please.
All right, we got a Cane's Cartel here.
Yeah. Cane's Cartel, that's for people.
Is that a pan? A frying pan?
Yeah, a frying pan. Oh, this is a Cane's Cartel
sauce
bag.
Pan.
Yeah. This is a
does Billy know like people?
What is a saucepan, by the way?
It's a pan that you simmer sauce in.
But like, no, but like, what's it look like?
Because it's got higher.
Is it flatter?
It has higher walls.
Yeah, higher walls.
Got it. So that's a saucepan.
No, it's a little big to be a saucepan.
Too big to be a saucepan.
But maybe if you're making a big sauce.
Like the big sauce. Okay.
I'm not much of a cook. I'm more of a baker.
Big cheese.
I do watch a lot of Chopped though.
And you all do eat with your hands. What?
Okay.
Whoa, wow.
Yeah, so Roy just lifted up a basket.
Holy
that looks
shit.
Like it's
not going to be happy about this.
It looks
by
like
the way.
It's 45 pounds.
By the way, who is going to be in charge of moving all of that to the new studio?
Yeah, I have been
really worried about like losing stuff on the move, right? There's things like my whiteboard, for instance. I've grown very attached and fond of my whiteboard.
But it's an $11 whiteboard. You can just buy another one.
I like this one, though. I like this one, right? My bag of tools. So my cowbell, my slide whistle, my desk bell, my harmonica. Oh, have I shown you guys a harmonica?
No.
No, do you have it on you?
Oh, yeah. Give me a second.
I feel like there's a good video bit here
Elon
of
Musk
you to music, packing up all your stuff, moving on up.
I was actually
to the
thinking,
east side.
This doesn't help Elon's anyone, but I was thinking of doing a get ready with me on our last day of the Clevelander video because
help.
Our last day is very soon. I don't know if I can say one.
Don't
it is,
say it because it's probably not going to be the day.
Around here. and it might get moved back. Who knows? I don't think it is, though.
What is Roy holding up?
Billy has a lighter in the
one of those annoying lighters that's like hard to get where you gotta like flick the thing and push the thing. It's
you mean safety?
Yeah, exactly.
The little safety is right here.
Give me an old lighter that I can
safety
burn my thumb
guy.
If I leave it. Oh, if I leave it,
I always
lit
burn
for like,
my finger, the tip of my fingernails on those.
Yep.
Yeah.
So but I was thinking of doing like a get ready with me on the last day of the Clevelander because this place, you know, it's the only place here I've ever known. You guys have worked in other studios.
I've never known anything other
I'm
than
I'm sad
the
that we're leaving. Like I know we're improving our surroundings, but this is home for us.
No, I'm not sad. At all.
It's dangerous.
I'm not
around
sad.
Here.
Well, beyond the dangerous ground. Like, it's just, there are so many things in the studio that I don't know if people realize. It's very small. Like, we've really maximized.
It's the first thing people say when they walk in. Man, it's small in
it's
here.
It's so small and so cramped, and everything we do is like juicing a rock. It's like getting every last drop of whatever it is Roy's holding
what is
up
that,
back
Roy?
There.
Umbrella?
He has too many umbrellas, which means Marlo's you forgot color. One, and then you forgot the other.
It's funny. Too mini or too many? Either way, it's
no
accurate.
Too many. Too many. I still don't know.
I watched a Columbo last night where they caught the killer because of an umbrella situation. It was such a good one.
I love a good umbrella situation. But the new studios is just going to give us so much more room for activities. Yeah. That's what I'm excited about.
Have you seen it?
I've seen photos of it.
Yeah, I've seen
Here's my question, and I think something Dan is worried about, because this, like you said, very small, very cramped, kind of dirty, and just so very much kinda colorful. Dirty. The set deck here is really busy. It's like super loud, and the new space looks very professional. Like very nice, very professional.
Where do you guys have these pictures? I want to see.
And I think Mike Ryan sent me one.
I imagine
Dan. I'm not on those text strings.
No, you got to be a subscriber. $2.99.
The day we get in that studio, Dan's going to be like, all right, let me get my brother in here to put a lot of art in here. Like, you know, he's going to be like, this is too professional.
Yes, that's what I'm worried about. Yeah. I'm worried that Dan's going to be worried. Yeah. That
Dan's
it's
screw
too
it up.
Sterile.
Wait, so you guys think that John Taffer went in and redid the studio, and Dan is going to see the reveal and going to be like, no.
He's going to be like, absolutely not. Someone go pee in that corner so it smells bad like the Clevelander.
We're not keeping any of this, are we? We're auctioning this off, or what are we doing with these walls?
I have no idea. Because these are all like panels.
Yeah, I don't know if they know that. So for the viewers on YouTube, and if you're not, YouTube.com/Levitard and Friends. Make sure you're subscribed so you can see.
It's all Velcro.
Rip off this thing Velcro wise, and it says Murray, and it's got Stugatz's head kind of like coming out of a phone handle there.
Yeah, this is a Brockmeyer one I just ripped off the wall. They're all from like probably 2018 time period, right?
Yeah. That's about right, yeah.
And I did also notice the Clevelanders started peeling off the decorations in the hallway of
it's
the
sad,
Levitard
yeah.
show. It is a little sad. Yeah. I didn't get a picture of it before they did it.
I think I found out why he has the lighter, because I have an empty box of sparklers.
Ah, sparklers.
Yeah, so that's why he has the lighter.
Sparklers are the most overrated celebratory item.
Overrated?
Just like people like I don't want to run through your little sparkler tower at a wedding. Like to me, that's like the worst part of a wedding. Like let's all stand outside when you're hammered. Let's all light a sparkler and let's make a.
There have been so many near death experiences.
Let me ask. Let me go around the room. When you think sparklers, what do you think of? You think
going to a nightclub?
No, I think of
and they're like.
I think of 4th of July. Woo. I think of 4th of July. Then I think of wedding, and then I think of a nightclub.
I think of Finance Bro at One Oak. Getting a sparkler with a bottle of
bottle
some
service.
Stupid expensive tequila.
Okay, so let me ask you guys, let's delve in, because I think of bottle service immediately. But are we talking the girls holding the sparklers, or are we talking the sparkler in the bottle?
Sparkler always in the bottle.
In the bottle, got it. No, because Jess is right. Some of them have like the bottle girl come out, or like the whole army of bottle girls come out.
They're like landing a plane.
Yeah.
It's got to be a place of note, though, for me to want the sparklers. If I'm at just like a regular bar and I order like a bottle? And they're like, and it's like there's like 17
it's
people in this place,
point,
and
yeah.
it's just like, woo!
Oh,
it's like,
no,
just
yeah,
give me the bottle.
No pomp and circumstance for me.
If it's a club, like if I'm at like, you know, then give me the whole thing, like, you know, put my name on the little thing, like, that's never happened to me. I'm just saying, that's
they
like
did that to Roy.
Roy, they did it for Roy. Yeah. Roy hit me with the two different lives, and you're the,
the
one.
I'm not. Bottle service?
Roy,
it literally happened to you. In Washington.
Yeah, in D.C.
Well, I didn't seek that out. I mean,
they said Roy, you know
first
what
turn
it
ever
is.
Happened to me.
The marquee that they brought out said, Roy, get an iPhone.
Never.
That might be one of the funniest things I've ever seen. Like just scrolling on Instagram, that Roy get an iPhone sparkler.
I was in Hawaii at that time, and I woke up at like 4 in the morning in Hawaii because the timing was off. And I'm looking at my phone. I'm like, what is happening?
And it was the shot I saw was like a black and white shot of Roy sitting on the couch. And remember, when you sit at a table in a club, you can't sit regular.
Oh, yeah.
You have to sit on the couch back, right? And the sign coming out and the sparklers, and Roy looks so serious. Like, the look on your face was just like
Roy's
of,
thinking, like, they better expense this. I'm not paying for this shit.
What was the bottle, Roy?
It was a Black Label.
And
some kind of vodka, I believe. Lewis was there, so I think he remembers the bottles.
Two bottles for two of you? Jesus.
No, I think they brought out
they bring people.
Yeah, picture people in the section. Come on.
Yeah, it's people in the section.
People in the section.
You made a lap. You're like, let's invite some people in.
No, you never make the lap. Someone else does that for you.
We're gonna be in like the sparkler bottle service capital of Miami when our new
in
office. We're like a block
in the studio
away from some big nightclub.
I want to talk about this though. The idea of Chris, you said you're sad. You're feeling sad, right?
It's just like
Jess, you too, right? Some nostalgia. No, not some nostalgia.
I just feel like when we're in it, we're just going to be like, oh man, like that was.
What do you think you're going to miss the most?
I mean, nothing specifically. I just think more of just like, oh, that was a time. Hold on, like, it's kind of like the way I feel.
Start telling a story and I'll do a background
track. It's kind of the way I feel about time. The Marlins Park. Like,
we're
Marlins Park.
The Clevelander,
I used like.
Wait, Marlins, what do you mean Marlins Park?
No, like
Park?
Pro Player Stadium was a dump, but I miss Marlins games being there because it's
really?
Just my childhood. Oh, even though they're clearly playing in a nicer place now, I just it's just like I went there when I was in my high school years. Like, there's just something about.
Oh, no, we're gonna tape the Levitard show.
Yeah, I get it, man. Like, there's a nostalgia there that, like, this reminds me
but
of.
But it's
childhood.
A dump, to your point.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, I think one of the things I think we're going to miss is the ability to use the ocean as a prop.
I'm okay with getting rid of that.
Really?
we're still kind of close to the water, though.
Who leads the league in walking to the ocean?
Like, the stats? Like, who's walked to the ocean the most?
The guy's talking now.
Who's gotten the most penalty box? Like, I don't think I've been sent to the penalty box the most.
No.
I've definitely been sent to the ocean the most.
The penalty box the most would be...
Billy, maybe? Billy had a run. Like,
per 36?
At the end?
Overall.
Per 36, it's me.
I'm killing.
Per 36, it's me.
Yeah, for sure.
Literally, every time I'm here, I have to get sent to the penalty box.
But Billy had, like, at the end of our ESPN time, Billy had a stretch where, like, multiple times an hour, Billy was going. Like, he had, the best season, like, if we're just, like, breaking these down into seasons, mm-hmm. Billy, like, in 2019,
right.
Billy set the record for most penalty box appearances.
Usual suspect.
Year. Yeah.
I remember I used to get sent to the penalty box so much that when we came up with the penalty box green screen graphic, the fact that my face was like nowhere, I'm like, really? Like, I live here. Why,
I am the penalty
box. Why do we have Sarah Spain all over this shit, man? There's like three Sarah Spain heads for like my one head, which is up in the corner somewhere.
I mean, you're on a couple of these wall boards, aren't you?
I am. Right, there's I think there's one right behind me.
That one. I'm not on any of them because I think they're before my time.
What does that one
say?
Teflon. I mean, so this was back when. Let me hold it up to the camera. This is back when we were doing Grid of Death, and I never lost. There was a point in time where I won every single time. Even the time when I threw back a team that had a bye, and like pulled out another team that was terrible. You guys were like, oh, what are you doing? And then I ended up winning. That was a magical time. Of course, I'm not Teflon anymore. I've been scraped clean by the goddamn Grid of Death.
Are you going to take that one home or no?
You know what I think we should do? I think we should actually like sign these and like auction them off and give out
good profit.
At the next mosque, maybe.
Maybe in the next mosque. Yeah.
A little for profit.
I mean, NIL? Look,
not for profit, but you know, maybe a little taste on the side.
Yeah. It is your likeness.
A couple points on the other way.
Yeah, a little bump.
Angel gets some, obviously. He created them. But
see, now I'm getting sad. I'm telling you, like,
really?
I don't know why. I have no clue. It's just there's this part. Like, I just I'm just gonna kind of miss this place.
But I'm still so excited about what the new place is gonna be because I think of all the things that were wrong with this space and now hopefully have been corrected. Like, for instance, the third seat, you can't see the room unless you like. I gotta lean forward to see Tony. I'm excited that you guys aren't going to be on top of each other.
Apparently that is a big change that we're going to have to get used to.
And we're still going to have 42 people in a room, but we're just going to be spread out.
We're
going
to have space and you're not going to have to ask someone else to turn on your mic, Tony, right? You can control your own microphone. Huh? How about that? Can I interest you guys in a little bit of leg room perhaps and not be kicking computers?
Leg room would be nice.
Somewhere I can put my work bag.
We're going to have storage space and desks, allegedly.
Cubby hole.
Like, cubby holes? Like, obviously, that's not going to do much for people listening and viewing, but for us, our quality of life is going to go up tremendously.
Cubby hole's overrated. Bring a backpack.
No, but that's where you put your backpack.
Yeah.
Nope.
Okay.
Cubby holes, overrated. I stand by it.
All right. Okay.
When have you ever had it? I mean, other than when you're in high school, like lockers, but that's not a cubby hole.
Right.
Lockers were, that's peak life.
Yep.
I loved having a locker
in
high school. I loved it.
I had a locker at ESPN LA.
Had a locker, Jeremy?
ESPN Bristol, there
ESPN
was lockers
Bristol
too.
ESPN Bristol has lockers too, but like ESPN LA, ESPN Bristol, I think, had only for talent, right?
Yeah.
It was weird. ESPN LA, they just had like, it was like high school. If you go down that hallway, it's lockers. And some of them are talent, some of them are just people who work there. And some of them were empty. And I used to use one of those lockers. It's fun, man.
Were you guys... When you had like the lock, would you do the one with the little code, the three numbers,
course.
Or
would
you guys go key?
No. I have to go combo lock, man.
Yeah.
Combo lock, but the combo one that has lock. The 60, where you could change it. It's, not the three that's like on a suitcase or something.
No, yeah, no. No, it's the master. Dial. It's the master lock.
It's the master lock.
The black lock. Face, the silver lock. You spin it a zillion times to the left, even though they only spin it twice. You got to do it
love
a zillion times, and then you stop, and then you go like once this way, and then.
Oh man, you guys ever run late for class and you're trying to put it in really fast and you screw it up, and then you spin it around, and then you screw it up again, and you're like, I'm sweating now. I got to get it this third time. I'm gonna be late.
Have locks enhanced? I would just be late. Have locks enhanced?
I guarantee
years?
You, if I went to my high school and put in my same combination from when I was in high school 10 years ago, it still would there. Open that locker.
I imagine they're like fingerprints now. It's like a lock.
You know what, man? Like Chris, I was about to laugh at you, then I was like. Man, maybe it is because I remember going back to Arizona State where I went to undergrad and grad school, and like the classrooms now, they instead of whiteboards, they have like digital boards so that like the teacher will write with a pen and it will take what they wrote in handwriting and convert it into text.
What?
And then the kids don't even have to take the notes. They can just like download the teacher's notes off the I'm like,
that's huge.
But what? I'm just like, yo, man, what do y'all do in school now? I'd be just chilling then.
ChatGPT, who cares?
Exactly.
Were you guys allowed to have cell phones like in your high school classroom?
Oh my God, Jess.
I don't think so.
Cell phones weren't even, the cell phones were like the size of, what was it? Cell
questions
phones.
Mostly for Chris and Tony.
I had cell phones. I had cell phones because I was like that was back in the snake days. Like I think I was playing like
a little Nokia.
You ever had the little Nokia with
Nokia
the snake?
Brick? You could drop that thing from like a 20-foot building and it would still be.
Like I have memories of playing Snake in the back of like a high school room.
And getting yelled at.
Yeah.
Jess, this would have been me with a cell phone. Hold on.
Amin has like a giant like brick in his hand.
Like the Night at the Roxbury cell phone.
Hello? Yeah, man, I'm in class right now. This teacher giving me a hard time. Wait, hold on. Let me make sure my antenna's all the way out. Okay.
Can't really hear you. Here you go. Now
okay.
I got you.
Well, I don't, it's not any time anymore, so I got to hang up right now. Call me at 7. That would have been my phone.
Oh, yeah. And you're tangled up in the cord.
Did you used to get charged when you would receive a text message? I saw something like people were complaining about like back in my day. I was like, wait. Text messages, like, I would get charged if I received
the
one.
The early days, certain cell phone plans. Dude, yeah. And then let me tell you something. Texting became
wild.
Thing.
So you had a quota of how many texts you got a month.
And then nights and weekends, they were usually free.
That's for calls. The texts were not free.
Really?
The quota for texts was like 24 hours. But you had a quota. First of all, before nights and weekends were free, you just had a quota of minutes. You had 500 minutes a month. Which was insane. Like 500 minutes, talk minutes a month, right? Then it became.
Which, by the way, I can't fathom talking on the phone for more than like 20 minutes a month. Right. That's crazy.
So then someone came out, I think it was T-Mobile, came out with nights and weekends for free. And so that was a game changer. And everyone was like, yo, call me after 9 p.m. That's when anytime starts, right? Or that's when unlimited starts, right? And then I think Sprint had the option where if you pay a premium, you can move your unlimited to like 8 p.m. or 7 p.m. So then that was the thing. Then it was like Sprint to Sprint. Oh, if you have a buddy who has Sprint,
we're gonna be texting all night, bro.
And you can call them all you want anytime. It did not matter. Unlimited.
Sprint to Sprint. I can just remember those commercials. Sprint to Sprint.
Then you had the Chirp. Oh, the
Boost
Chirp.
Mobile.
The Chirp. Well, the Chirp Nextel was the first one.
Oh, that was annoying. All my friends had that.
I
was like,
I didn't have it and I wanted it. I was like, damn, that looks so cool, man. It looks so cool. But then also, like, you can't really avoid someone, right? When they chirp you, you got to chirp back, right? Then the texting started where it was like 500 texts a month. Then it was like unlimited texting with web. That's when we started moving to those like web browser ones to like more of a kind of graphic interface. Oh, man, the cell phone journey has been amazing, man. Remember, like, here's something. I don't even know if like teenagers now know this. If you bought a phone, it was only for that network. I have a Verizon phone. I want to switch to T-Mobile. I got to get a brand new phone because this phone won't work on that phone.
Or you could unlock it, which is a whole other thing.
It's a whole other thing, yeah. But then some of them had the chip that we all have now, and some of them had something called CDMA.
I see cell phone company commercials now, and I'm like, what? Are they not all the same at this point? Are they not all offering the same things? I'm like, why would I switch my cell phone plan at this point
service.
In my life?
That's the only reason why. Like, which one has the best coverage? I think Verizon has the best coverage. I think T-Mobile has the most cost-effective plan. I think AT&T, I don't know what AT&T does.
AT&T is very good.
They give you free HBO, I think.
Yeah, like, they do that. They give you a lot of free
it's
shit.
It's very good, trust me.
Is it? Is that what you got?
Yeah.
Okay. All my AT&T people always complain.
Because I feel like back in the day, it was like, oh,
not here.
People who had Sprint back in the day, they still have unlimited data, even though they don't get great coverage. And they're like one of the only places, I guess, you can still have unlimited data.
We're T-Mobile now.
I have unlimited data.
Sprinters are T-Mobile now.
Oh, yeah. Sprint got bought, right? Yeah. Yeah, man. Dude, man, like when I think about cell phones in like the mid-2000s, that was really the golden era because that was the thing I really appreciated. Everybody had a different phone. And so, like, you would see a new phone, like, oh, that's such a cool phone. And, like, oh, yeah, my phone does this, my phone does that. Now everybody literally has either an iPhone or an Android that looks suspiciously like an iPhone.
If everyone has unlimited data now, like, it's weird. These commercials are weirding me out.
Oh, yeah, they're selling you on something that you already get. That's what they do, Jess.
Is it Lily, the AT&T woman?
Lily's the AT&T woman, yes. Yeah. Versus Paul Giamatti, the Verizon man.
Character acting.
Oh, man. I feel so bad.
That is a weird one where you're like, Paul, what's going on?
The bag must be crazy.
I rarely think that. I rarely look at a commercial and think, like, why are you taking this? But Paul Giamatti, I'm like, are you not getting roles? You're a great actor. Like, what's happening?
So, like, Zach Braff and Donald Faison for T-Mobile, totally understandable, right? Totally understandable.
All the SNL characters, I get it for Verizon. But then Paul Giamatti.
Paul Giamatti, man, you're better than this.
It's the bag.
You're right. I bet you he gets way more than the rest of them.
I'm sure they get paid so much.
Why are you hating on Zach and Donald?
No, I'm just saying, like, it makes sense.
Like, he gets it.
They're oh, sorry.
Keep going.
Bill Lawrence
is, like, texting Roy right now. Thank you for standing up for our scrubs.
No, they're reprising a role from a show that was popular 20 years ago. That's what those commercials usually do. Hey, remember these guys from this show? Oh, yeah, wouldn't it be fun if it was, like, that's how they are in real life? That's a normal thing. Paul Giamatti, like you said, won an Oscar. Like, you're an actual working actor.
And he's playing
actor.
A weird character. Yeah. I don't understand.
Like, I'm a bunch of weird characters.
Like, this is weird.
This dude played John Adams, and now I'm like, I'm doing Ebenezer Scrooge with a cell phone plan.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text THIN to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text THIN to 200-300. That's THIN to 200-300. THIN to 200-300.
Dan Le Batard.
Yes, you can't talk about double-digit national titles when every single call of you winning the national title sounds like this. Oh, there's Chubby Checker running down the sideline. If the audio... Yeah,
that's not true.
Yeah, and there's a World War II veteran pitching it to another white guy, and he avoids another white guy. Oh, my God, Notre Dame, the Fighting Irish, have done it again for the eighth time. Only paying white people.
Stugatz.
Chubby Checker.
I'm sorry.
He's black.
He's black, and I was like, what's a white name? Chubby Checker. I picked a black. I'm sorry, man. I'm improv in here. It's a pretty cool riff.
Chubby Checker running down the side.
He spells it differently. All right. His name is Chubby. Maybe you didn't hear me correctly. His name is Chubby Checkers. There's an S at the end.
I feel like that should be the largest of fines.
Yeah, Chubby. It's Chubby Checker. It sounds like a college football name.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stuttgart.
Hello, Derek. Excited to talk to you. A lot of stories. Five-time NBA champion, Stugatz. I hope I get some of the good stuff here. Some of the Shaq stories. Some of the Kobe stories.
I will tell you this, Dan. When you needed a big bucket, Derek Fisher was a professional getter of big buckets.
Okay, we will talk. Buckets. We will talk to him about that as well. And I want to talk to him about the highlights of the James Dolan experience. And we will see if we get the real Derek Fisher honesty here. We will try with the interviewing technique at the start about buttering him up with the big bucket talk.
Yes.
In the history of the game, Derek Fisher, name all the shots bigger than your biggest bucket.
Oh, my gosh. So many. Man. I mean, Jerry West from 70 feet goes in there. Magic Johnson with the baby sky hook into Boston Garden goes in there. Michael Jordan in Salt Lake City. 98 against the Jazz goes in there. Man, I'm trying to think of how many more shots.
Ray Allen, Kyrie Irving.
Kyrie, enough.
Yeah, slow down on that. Ray Allen played for the Celtics. It's a lot of love to give to Ray Allen. But Ray's a 96 draft classmate, so I can't hate on Ray, man. Ray's one of the best to ever do it. Kobe's alley-oop to Shaq in 2000, Western Conference Finals. That was, we were down in that game big to the Blazers, and that was kind of like, that was the alley-oop that sent us into the three-peat momentum. I'm leaving out a bunch of
you said all the baskets other than mine, so
I think you did fine. There was maybe five or six baskets bigger than yours. I'm with you on that.
Mm-hmm. All great moments, man. Yep.
And you regard, take us back there, you regard the greatest shot of your career, for those who may not be familiar, you would say was blank.
I mean, the most memorable one, of course, for everybody is point four in San Antonio, game five, Western Conference Finals, 2004. That's the most memorable bucket. I read something recently, too, though, that I was like, finally somebody gets me on this. Like, it was a writer that was like, they were ranking my shots or something, but they were like, this one ranks a little lower because it didn't lead to an NBA Finals championship and something else it said. And I was like, yeah, that's how I've been feeling for 20 years.
Bleep off, in other words. I broke Tim Duncan's heart. I broke his heart. Yeah. Like he had me beat. He had us beat. Yeah. And I personally broke Tim Duncan's heart.
Nah, Timmy D broke enough hearts along the way, man. He deserved one time to get his heart broken.
I want to talk to you about a couple of other things because the teammates that you have had have been interesting. And Rick Fox told us the story of Kobe Bryant testing them until Rick Fox, like he just kept showing up in the spot where Rick Fox wanted to sprint. He kept going to that spot until Rick Fox evidently had to go up to him and be like, all right, do we need to settle this with a fight? And only then did Kobe respect it and be like, no, I just wanted to see if you would actually get to that point. Give us some of the examples of how Kobe would test.
So in both of our rookie years, the guys that didn't play a lot of minutes, would have to work out, the day after the game, like really, really hard because you didn't play the night before. So there were a lot of days like after practice, we'd have to play, two on two, three on three. This particular day, we were in Milwaukee at the Bucks practice facility, and Kobe and I were playing full court one-on-one, like just absolute bloodbath, though, of like physicality, because neither one of us are playing in the game. And so, this is our only way to get that energy out, get that competitive spirit out. And so we're playing full court one-on-one. And at this point in my career, I had not played against guys that like offensively knew all of the like the tricks of, when they get ready to make a move, they knock your hand off if you're hand checking, or when they go to get open, they push off or they, they were just doing little things on offense that I started feeling like, okay, well, I'm on offense. I mean, I'm on defense. Why are you fouling me? Like I should be fouling you to try to stop you from scoring, but you're fouling me and you have the ball. So after a few times of him kind of like knocking my arm off as he got ready to go to the basket, I just kind of stopped and I said, look, bro, that's the last time you're going to knock my arm off that aggressively trying to go play basketball. Like, I'm on defense, you're on offense. That can never happen again. Are we just going to square up right here in the middle of the court? Because at this point, we're pretty much just fighting anyway. It's not even basketball. So let's just go ahead and have an actual fight without the basketball, and then we can just go from there. And, I, you know, whether or not that conversation is what, you know, like from then on, he respected me. I don't want to necessarily go on record and say that because he's not here to clarify that in the right way. But I believe that was the moment he realized there wasn't anything he was going to do to me that was going to have me kind of run from like the competitiveness and the grit that it would take to. Yeah, stand up to anybody in the situation to win.
He felt like he had to be maximum alpha asshole until he tested people to see who was going to be in his bunker on, okay, the guys who are willing to fight me, then okay, I fight with them. Like, it sounds like it was a technique.
Yeah, I mean, especially I had not heard, you know, Rick's story in that way. I'm not surprised, but I had not heard that story. And so, yeah, it does sound like a technique, which that wouldn't be surprising either. But I'm glad that in the moment it didn't feel that way, right? I'm glad in the moment it didn't feel like a teammate that was just testing you. Like, in the moment, it felt like me and this teammate about to fight.
Well, I wonder how that went over with Shaq, because you were in the center of all that. It was so weird, Derek, to see Kobe come out and he told everybody Shaq's fat, he's out of shape. He's saying that publicly. Shaq is on a stage saying, you know, tell me how my ass tastes to Kobe, because I'm guessing that Kobe doesn't want to fight physically Shaq. Like, that's not a test he can do to Shaq, yeah. Is it?
No, I mean, I don't think so. I don't think anybody wants to really try to do that. You know, somebody might sneak a punch in, but Shaq's, is a mammoth of a human being. So I don't know if anybody just really wants to take that physical challenge. So yeah, a lot of their sparring went on kind of through the media, maybe sometimes, you know, in the way that they played and, you know, sometimes didn't communicate with each other a certain way, but there was never really a time where I physically were going to try to get after it. But yeah, I don't think Kobe wanted to go down.
But how did, as a champion, as a five-time champion, what did you make of that tension between them that was playing out so publicly? How did you receive? Do you remember how you received? You went on to become a coach and everyone regards you as a leader. You're watching two champion stars beef in a way that is super unusual and thinking what?
I mean, the only real thought was like we all wanted to win so badly that what felt like this insurmountable type of like team drama, really what we were always able to kind of put in the background when it came to winning time. And so for me specifically, it was frustrating at times because I felt like it was wasting energy that we could be putting towards being better. We only had one season, I think, where we were like by far the best team by record, you know, home court throughout. But other than that, to me, it became a part of us just managing what it's like to be at the top of the heap. Like, there are just things that come with being on top that you have to accept.
You and Steve Kerr at the same time, with not a lot of coaching experience, both negotiated the same sort of contracts. You got one, I think it was exactly the same amount. You got it in New York. He got it in Golden State. Can you take us through? You were viewed as such an experienced person. You got that job simply because you were floor general guy. Can you take us through what your choices were at that time? Because we still make fun of Stan Van Gundy for saying he didn't like Golden State's ownership and he went to Detroit. And it was a terrible, terrible decision.
Yeah, no, I mean, I only had the one choice. You know, I think to Steve's credit, his front office experience in Phoenix, I think allowed him to have a greater sense of, you know, what high functioning organizations look like, the type of collaboration that either did or didn't take place. And I think his relationship with Phil was different than mine. So I give Steve a lot of credit for maybe recognizing that wasn't the best fit for him. And I think having some NBA front office experience helped a little bit there. It also could be just as simple as New York is really far from California. And at that time, Steve didn't want to go live on the East Coast. I don't know. We've never really had that direct conversation. So for me saying yes to, to Phil in New York, it was really purely off of trusting a relationship that the two of us have from being coach and player, that we would essentially be able to just figure out whatever came our way. And I just basically went head first towards, I love the game. I want to continue to give back to the next generation of guys coming in. Phil and I have worked well together before. Why not?
You mentioned the phrase high-functioning organization. I'll trade you. One promotion of Barcode, the vegan energy drink that you are here to promote with us because you're living a healthy lifestyle and look great. And I imagine that the vegan energy drink is something that supports that lifestyle. But in exchange for promoting that, I want the time with the Knicks when you're like, this is not a high-functioning organization.
I actually don't have like a negative Jim Dolan experience. Like from my experience, he was always respectful with me. I never felt like he was overstepping. He never walked into my office and said, you should do this or this. I think at that time, he and Phil really had come to a place where he was going to respect Phil Jackson as the president of the team and really was going to be as hands-off as possible. So that was my personal experience in terms of Jim Dolan. I think there were moments, and I don't want to like say too much because I want to work for an NBA team at some point in the future. I just think there were moments where our communication internally was just really disjointed and didn't suggest for me as a person that, again, was inexperienced in terms of not even just being a head coach, but really being on the other side of being in the NBA and not playing. I just felt like the communication internally was disjointed and somewhat inefficient. Like we weren't serving our players to the best of our ability. And that was the part that became more eye-opening for me. I thought it was surprising that a team or an organization in the greatest, arguably greatest city in the world, right? Biggest media market, so many positive attributes. We just weren't doing things in a way that allowed our players to be successful. And that for me was the hardest part. And it was disappointing at times that we couldn't be better on our side of it so that we could better impact our players. And so, again, without like getting into specifics, because there are people that still work for teams now. They're still, and again, I hope to work for a team again at some point.
We got you. You've offered the qualifiers. You're simply saying there were communication issues.
Derek, I'm wondering, were you ever fortunate enough to see Dolan's band play?
No, I did get one invite though, but I felt like my invite to see the band play actually came after I was fired, if I remember correctly.
Well, would you like to hear some JD and the Straight Shots? Would you like to?
Sure. Yeah. Would love to.
Better find it soon. Oh. Better search through the night by the light of a sinner's moon.
Not too bad.
I know.
Better find a church. Get on your knees. Beg for a chance just to dance with someone.
Not too bad. Is Jim on the bass? What is he playing? What is his instrument?
He's singing, I think.
Singing, yeah.
Oh, he's singing.
What, man, did you miss out?
In fact, go ahead. Keep this up, and I want this to be the music behind his advertisement for Barcode, the vegan energy drink.
It's oddly good, the music.
It is not. Let's go ahead and have this behind.
I could see that in a Quentin Tarantino movie, Dan.
Exactly what I was thinking.
That's a good call.
Okay,
that's a good call.
Go ahead and play it again so that he can sell us some Barcode here, Derek, with JD and the Straight Shots as your musical background.
No, you already did a good job selling it, man. Vegan sports energy drink. We want moms and dads and athletes to have different options and choices, man. Obviously, Gatorade's killed the market for a long time. Kobe came through with body armor. and did their thing. But yeah, we just feel like Barcode is on another level in terms of vegan, less sugars, more healthy properties, and just better for you, essentially. And so, we don't want to just serve a sports drink just to call it that. Like, we wanted to actually help people feel better and put the right things in people's bodies. So that's Barcode in a nutshell. And I want this music to stop.
So. Yes, yes, it was too loud. Yes, it was. They were playing it too loud. We've had some issues with production over the last couple of days.
He also wanted to stop playing your game, exchange promotion for stories.
Want some more. I've still got some more. I've got a couple of more questions. How close did you come to joining the heat of LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh?
You did your homework. Really, 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 really close. That's one of the regrettable decisions that I made in my career. I think that, I don't know, the number one reason I'll say that I didn't is I just, at that point, I could not go play with someone else and just kind of like leave what Kobe and I had built together at that point and just kind of go play in Miami with LeBron and those guys. And even had we won more championships, and that would have felt great, it just wasn't a sense at that time that I did not like the way the Lakers handled my free agency that year. I was not happy really returning to the organization, although I was happy to return to the city of LA and still be teammates with Kobe and playing for Phil and going after another championship. But I was really, really, really close to signing with the Miami Heat. The conversations I had with Pat Riley, going down to Miami to spend a day, with their group, some of the brief conversations that LeBron and I had from a basketball perspective, it felt right. I'd say a little bit of the reaction to LeBron's decision, and I guess the way he handled the decision, I guess, played a little bit of a role, in my thinking. But I just kind of, and also at that time, I was 37 years old, 38. I got, a 1-year minimum deal was a risk, right? Like, in 1 year, you could be out of the league at that age. And so also at the end of the day, I did have to consider the fact that the Lakers were ultimately, after I went to Miami to take a visit with the Heat, they did get up to 3 years. And so that did make a difference.
When you say that as a career regret, do you have on the list of regrets, I don't know how much regret you do, you don't have any much reason to have regret in this regard, where does that rank on career regrets? Is there something above that for you? Like, just decisions?
The only thing that I wouldn't even say comes close that I think about from time to time is when my first round of free agency in like 99, I went to San Antonio to take a visit with the Spurs and, got a chance to spend some time with Pop, and I definitely at times think about what it would have been like to play for him.
We appreciate you being on with us. Again, Barcode is the vegan energy drink, and I ask you this question. I really do ask it respectfully, and I ask for you to help me walk through a public controversy that played out with you, that love is complicated, raising children is complicated, and Matt Barnes seems like an emotional person who can sometimes handle things in ways that are unpleasant, as it was reported he did with you. What light can be shed there without me, getting too close to personal stuff that you don't want me anywhere near, that would just explain to people, hey, I couldn't really talk about that, but it's a lot more complicated than people understand?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's probably the best way to say it. I mean, especially at that time, I was the head coach of the New York Knicks. I felt like it was a personal matter that played out publicly. The NBA was investigating the matter themselves. So there wasn't a lot, that could be said. And I think in thinking about it now, I would approach it the same way. Life is complicated, whether love is involved or not. Life is complicated. I think there are always things you feel like you could do better or be better in terms of handling things. And I don't think in that situation, I feel like there was... It wasn't a situation that involved instigation or provocation, right? I think that is the one thing that, had I said anything, it initially kind of played out as though it was back and forth over a woman, and we ended up in a fight because we were arguing back and forth kind of thing. And I think in particular, as we celebrate Women's History Month, and you see I'm rocking my WNBA shirt, I think that was the most kind of troubling part for me then and even still now, right? As though like two men get to decide what a woman wants to do. Like when was that ever true? Right? Like a woman decides what a woman wants to do, and there's no back and forth between two guys that is going to change that. So I still feel that way now, that that was kind of lost in all of the salaciousness of, yeah, as though there was like this battle going on. I just think that, again, life is complicated. And when love is involved, it can be complicated. And when they're, you know, families and children, et cetera. And so I just think, to probably more so to Gloria's credit than even myself or Matt, like the most important thing that happened then and continues to happen now is, even as stuff comes up, which always will in life, our number one priority has always been the children and the kids, and how do we protect them as best as possible in their experience and as they navigate who they are. And like, you know, no matter who we think we are from our careers or whatever, we don't get to like dictate how their life experience is. We don't get to dictate what they have to deal with when they go to school and the things that people may or may not say. So that responsibility, you know, we still have to a high degree. And we just try and always prioritize that, even sometimes if we don't handle everything the right way.
Derek, appreciate the time. Appreciate the honesty. Appreciate the way you carried yourself throughout your playing and coaching career. Five-time champion Derek Fisher with us. Thank you. Barcode is the name of the energy drink, vegan energy drink. We apologize for playing too long, the JD and the straight shots.
Well, he's never seen him, so.
Yes, and he was polite about it, but we don't need any more of that. We don't. He doesn't want any more of that.
Oh, my God.
Derek, thank you for being on with us, sir.
Man, appreciate it, guys. Thanks, Dan. Got to go, man.
Thank you, Derek. Confess, get it off your
chest. Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.